Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Leviticus. Taking a little break this week from Colossians to study a passage I hope will be a help to us as we consider this being our Harvest Sunday. Leviticus. Fairly easy to find in your Bibles. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book of the Bible. Leviticus. Chapter number 7. This is our Harvest Sunday, and we are looking forward to a good day here today. I trust the message will be a help and a blessing to us this afternoon, or rather this evening at 6 o'clock is our Harvest Banquet, and we will be meeting directly over in the Activity Center. So you come, and we'll have our service of sorts over there. It'll be a time when we get to think back on the blessings the Harvest the Lord has given to us as a church family, and enjoy a good time of food. And I think our sign-up sheet is nice and full, so remember to bring whatever it is that you signed up for, and we'll have a good time there. We'll give a brief devotional message, sing a few songs, and have a reading about Thanksgiving and some things like that. So you'll enjoy it tonight at 6 o'clock over in the Activity Center. The other part of our harvest day here is our harvest offering. For our harvest project. Our harvest project is new hymnals for the church. And as I was considering this matter of the harvest project and a Thanksgiving type offering, my mind was just considering, what would the Bible have to say about something like this? What tips or hints or little glimpses of the truth do we have from the Word of God that would give us some guidance and some instruction regarding such a thing? And so we're going to look at Leviticus chapter number 7, and the title of our thoughts here this morning is this: the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Leviticus chapter number 7, and let's look at verse number 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkled the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Now understand that this is Old Testament, and this is an Old Testament sacrifice, and certainly none of you are going to pull in tonight or even this morning with a lamb in your trunk and pop that thing out and put your hands on that thing and sacrifice it and do all the different things that are a part of the sacrifice that are here. But certainly there are some truths that we can learn from this sacrifice, and I think you'll see some great devotional thoughts that will warm your heart as we look down through this sacrifice that challenge us and consider, that help us to consider what it's like then if we have a harvest offering or a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so I hope that you'll understand a little bit more about this. And I hope that it will also give you a great challenge about what the sacrifice of thanksgiving is. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we ask you to bless now in this time as we look at your word, that we would rightly divide it. And Lord, that your spirit would take your word and apply it to our hearts and lives, that we might be more like Christ. Lord, guide us and direct us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I find it interesting that in God's infinite wisdom, here he makes provision in the Old Testament law for a time when an individual might be full of gratitude and wish to express that gratitude unto the Lord. But I find it interesting that here he tells them in these verses exactly how they're supposed to do it. If you're going to give a thanksgiving offering to the Lord in the Old Testament scene, you didn't just get to do it however you wanted to. If you were going to give a true thanksgiving offering, there was a certain right way to go about it. That is kind of an initial surprise to me. I would almost think that, hey, if you're going to give something to God, a thank you note would be just as good as, you know, an offering, and why not give something else instead of the sacrifice that he's going to describe? It's amazing that God has a specific way that you are supposed to go about it. This is important in our day and time, in which people many times think that they can get to heaven however they want, as long as they're sincere, that they can have a relationship with God however they want to go about it. And yet God clearly prescribes the right way. You must come to God His way. The awesome thing is that God has provided the greatest way, in a sense the easiest way for you and I to come to Him. That is through Jesus Christ, His Son, putting our faith and trust in Him. So before we even jump into the text, we are surprised and reminded that if we're going to do this, we do it God's way. If we're going to worship Him, we worship His way. Now the sacrifice is to be a sacrifice from a thankful heart. I'll give you just a few tidbits here this morning, a few tidbits of truth that I want you to pull from it. One of the challenges of studying the Thanksgiving offering here, the thank offering, is that God puts little pieces of information in several different places in Leviticus. And I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse number 29. Leviticus 22:29. It says this, "And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will." Sacrifice from a thankful heart. Offer it from your own will. God made provision here for people to offer this sacrifice, and it was to be something from their own hearts. It was something from their own will. And the Scriptures very clearly teach the very great importance, if you're going to make a sacrifice, that it comes from your heart. In fact, this was some of the problems with Judaism as they got later on, that they could make the sacrifices, but their heart wasn't behind it. I'll read several verses from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 and following. He says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this of your hand to tread in my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me." And he goes on and on and on to describe these vain sacrifices that they're offering. It wasn't what he desired. And he tells them later on, he says this, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And the clear teaching of the Old Testament is this, that your heart was to be behind the sacrifices that you gave. It was a very important thing. You're to give unto the Lord from your heart. God sees past a phony exterior. He can see past a facade that a person might try to give over. Now, there is a time and place in which we do what's right simply because it's right, whether we feel like it or not. But yet the important truth is that our heart needs to be behind it. God can see through it. In the same way that maybe a guy can see a girl and she may be a very beautiful young lady, and yet because he knows her, he understands there's a little bit more to her. All the other guys may be attracted to her because she's so good looking, but he's been around her long enough that he knows that her character isn't what it ought to be. There's some blemishes of the heart there. There's a heart problem and a heart condition there that far surpass the exterior beauty. They can tell that. People can tell that. People know those things. And God can see the same thing. It was to be a sacrifice of their own free will. It's to be something from the heart. The sacrifice was intended to reveal the heart. If you had a heart full of gratitude, if you had a heart full of thankfulness, then you would come and you would bring a thanksgiving offering. The sacrifice was supposed to reveal what really was in your heart. Is it on your heart to praise the Lord? Is it on your heart to thank the Lord for the wonderful bounty that He has given to you this year? Is it on your heart to be grateful to Him for everything that He has done? Have you been mindful of some recent wonderful things, maybe miraculous things, or just everyday things that God has done for you? Is that upon your heart? It's an incredible thing to consider that our heart needs to be behind these things. But you know what? At the same time, if you flip it around, the inverse is also true. That here He's telling them that if it's on your heart, make the sacrifice. You know, you can have a heart of gratitude, but then do you express that heart of gratitude? It's supposed to be an offering that is made from your own free will, but then make the offering, is what he's telling them in the Old Testament times here. Worship is not just confined to the heart. You know, we've lived through a generation of Christianity that has been super focused on the externals. Getting all the externals right so that we look good, and we've missed the heart. And now I think that our generation has almost flipped to the exact opposite, where we're so focused on the heart that our Christianity doesn't come out in everyday life. But we've got the heart. As if that all you have to have is the heart, but no, the clear teaching of God is that the same thing we've seen in Colossians, a relationship with Jesus Christ, chapter number 3, it ought to change your life. And so if you have a heart of gratitude, it ought to come out in a sacrifice. Your sacrifice should be backed up by the heart. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 7 and we'll look at another truth. We've seen we're to be sacrificing from a thankful heart. We've seen that God gave directions here for that. But another tidbit of truth that we would see here is that it was a sacrifice for peace. It was part of the peace offerings. Look at verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. So in Old Testament time, there were several different kinds of sacrifices. There was the sin offering. That dealt with especially the dealing with the sins of the person, dealing with a sinful person. Then there was the burnt offering there, and that especially dealt with a person completely committing themselves to the Lord. It was a whole burnt offering. The whole thing was burnt. It was completely dedicated to Him. That was another kind. There was the trespass offering, and that was for a specific sin that you committed. The sin offering was for the sinner as a person. The trespass offering was for a specific incident. So there were these kind, and then there was also the peace offerings. And of the peace offerings, one of those was the thank offering, or our sacrifice of thanksgiving. So it's kind of a subset of the peace offering. And really, when you study the divine order that God would give to us, it is this order that the sin offering comes first. You have to be right with God. You got to take care of your sin as a person. Then follows the burnt offering, where you give yourself to the Lord wholeheartedly. You surrender your life to the Lord. And then follows the peace offering. Then you have all the blessings that we're going to see come from the peace offering. And to be honest, it's exciting and neat what is found here in this peace offering. It was a offering of fellowship between God and the worshiper. It was as if you were sitting down at God's table, invited to worship with Him, talk with Him, fellowship with Him. That was the intention behind it. There were three different types of these peace offerings. We see the thanksgiving offering here in verses 11 and 12 down through verse 15. But then you look down at verse number 16, it gives the other two. But if the sacrifice of His offering be a vow. So perhaps you made a vow unto the Lord and you'd said, Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. Okay? You've made your vow unto the Lord and your sacrifice in reply to it could be a peace offering. Or the other kind, the third kind He gives here, is a voluntary offering. Alright, it's a voluntary offering where you just love the Lord and it's just from your heart and you just want to give something to the Lord, of sacrifice unto the Lord, of your own free will, just out of dedication and devotion and adoration to the one true God. So these are the three different types of peace offerings. The thanksgiving offering, the vow, and the voluntary offering. These are the three that are out there. But the peace offering is a communion offering. It is an offering here of the worshiper. It is not so much focused on what the sin offering was. The sin offering was, I'm a sinner and I've got to get right with God. This one's kind of based on it. Okay, I'm right with God. Now I get to enter into fellowship. I'm at peace with God. It was a happy offering. It was a joyous offering. It was a joyous time. It was a season of happy fellowship with God, that God would spend time with you. The word peace is the word shalom. And it carries across it, or with it, this idea of completeness, of prosperity or welfare, or joy and happiness. I often think of, when I think of the word shalom, I think of something being whole, being complete. It's whole. It's healthy. Everything's functioning as it should be. And if my relationship with God is at peace, it's whole. It's healthy. There's joy that's there. There's a relationship that's there. It's healthy in that sense. And that's what he's saying with the peace offering. My relationship with God is whole. That God would have fellowship and a relationship with me. It's an incredible thing. It's a beautiful picture of reconciliation. It pictures Jesus Christ. We studied this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. That He has made peace through the blood of His cross to reconcile us and reconcile all things unto Himself. And so Jesus Christ is pictured as the one who brings this peace offering. There's great joy. And there's great blessing. And there's great fellowship in it. In this Thanksgiving offering, in this peace offering. So let's walk down through now a little bit more of the details of this offering. Verse 12. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let's talk about the word thanksgiving here for just a moment. It's to be a sacrifice for thanksgiving. The purpose was thanksgiving. This isn't a bribe. This isn't trying to pay God for what He did. This is not just something that you do because you have to, because a spiritual leader or somebody told you that you have to do this. This isn't something that you do just because everybody else is doing it. This isn't something that we do in our day and time simply because we need new hymnals. All right? This, in this place, was to be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It was a serious time. It was a weighty observance. It was a sober time, a sober occasion. And yet it was a joyous time as well. And he says here that it's to be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, this word thanksgiving is an interesting word, and it really causes people to scratch their heads sometimes in thinking about what it means. Because the word is simply, you might pronounce it this way, toda. All right, if you were to pronounce the actual word that's behind it. And most of the time in the Old Testament, it is used to describe praise or thanksgiving. But there's a few places in the Old Testament in which it is used to describe the word confession. All right? And so people say, well, confession, you know, confessing your sin, how is that in any way the same thing as praise and adoration and thanksgiving? And you might struggle bringing those two together and seeing how it can be translated that way. Well, you need to remember, first of all, the context is different. It changes those things. But the other part of it is this. I think when you boil it all down, the word to me describes this, a recognition of something. Now, if you're recognizing somebody for something good they did, then that's thanksgiving. If you recognize that you committed a sin, well, that's confession. Recognition is a word you could use. I think declaration is another one. If somebody did something wonderful for you and you're praising them for it, you're declaring the wonderful thing that they did. However, if you've done a sin and you're trying to confess it, what are you doing? You're declaring, I did something wrong. I think another word that could be helpful to be used might be the word acknowledgement. Somebody does something great for you, and you acknowledge that by writing them a thank you note or recognizing them in the office. You acknowledge them for the wonderful thing that they did. However, if you've sinned on the other side, and you admit it, you are acknowledging that you sinned. And so to me, it's not impossible to see how those two words can be connected, but think of that. If thanksgiving is simply acknowledging what God has done for you and declaring what He has done for you. You know, we need times in which we simply acknowledge what God has done for us. We need to stop sometimes and acknowledge that God has done things for us. That He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Acknowledge the blessings that we have in salvation. Acknowledge the little things that we have in our everyday life. Acknowledge the big things that we have. Acknowledge that He's the source and the giver of all things. Recognize that our possessions are from Him. Acknowledge that the home that we have, that we enjoy and that shelters us and provides a great place for our family is from Him. Agree and declare that the financial blessings that we received are ultimately from Him. Realize the joy and the peace and the love that you enjoy with friends or with family or with others is ultimately from God. Acknowledge His character. Acknowledge His attributes. Acknowledge what He is like and praise Him for it. Comprehend, declare, acknowledge, admit all that you have. That's the word for thanksgiving here. Sometimes you'll see this word used. It seems to start off with in being used in a sacrificial context. I mean, this is the third book of the Bible, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's used in a context of sacrifice. But in time, the word also develops into a verbal aspect. Instead of materially offering a sacrifice, it is a verbal aspect of offering the sacrifice of praise. We'll talk about that towards the end of the message here this morning. It can be both verbal and an act. And certainly, we would understand that if someone's going to bring a sacrifice to the Lord in the temple of thanksgiving, you would think there would be a little bit of verbal that's behind it. You would think they would have a little bit of gratitude pouring forth from their own heart, saying we're thankful for what the Lord has provided here. So it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, as we continue to look here, this sacrifice was really took place in three stages. All right, this particular passage doesn't give us a lot about the first stage, but it alludes to it. Look at verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving. It refers to the first part here is the blood sacrifice. It just refers to it in passing because it describes it back in chapter 3. Let's go back to chapter number 3. Here's where it really brings it out. Leviticus 3 and verse number 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering. So he's dealing with the whole group of peace offerings. Thanksgiving offerings are one of those. If he offer it of the herd, so it's cattle, bulls, cows, that type of thing, all right? Offered of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And so, one of the options that he had for bringing the blood sacrifice was to bring cattle. And God broadened it here. With some of the other sacrifices, it was only to be a male. Here it could be a male or a female. That was one of his options. His other option is brought out in verse number 6. And if his offering for a sacrifice of the peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock. So now he's talking about sheep. Again, he could do it male or female, but it had to be, again, without blemish. So he could bring cattle, he could bring something from the flock, which would be sheep, or we can look over at verse number 12. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. So he could offer either cattle, sheep, or a goat. Some of the other offerings allowed you to offer a pigeon, but you will see later on that they got to eat part of this offering, and so some say that offering a bird didn't provide as much meat. And so maybe that's one reason why the Lord didn't particularly allow them to offer that in this offering. So they could offer one of these three different animals in the offering. And let's look back at verse number 2. It gives some of the directions. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And so here, this lamb, or this calf, or this goat was brought in, and they would place their hand upon the animal there as a connection between the two, as an identification with that. You know, how sobering it must have been. I mean, I was just thinking, what would it be like if I did this sometime? You know, actually got a lamb and put my hand on it, someone came up and cut its throat right there in front of me. I mean, wouldn't it kind of sober you up a little bit to the seriousness of the occasion? You're identifying with it. That thing is dying for you to have this offering, for you to make this offering. It's a serious thing here that he is making. And so they identify with it, they put their hands on it, it's killed, and then Aaron's sons, they take the blood and they sprinkle it in a special way there on the altar. Verse 3, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And for the sheep, it's interesting, we won't take the time to read about it, but it also describes there at the end of verse number 9 that the sheep got kind of the fatty backbone tail section as well. And so here they would take it and they would put their hand upon it, it would be killed, they'd take the blood, they would sprinkle it there, and then they would come and they would take the fatty portions of the animal and they would burn those unto the Lord. And that was the sacrifice portion of it. And you know, right away, this is the first part of the Thanksgiving offering. The first part reminds the person. Now, their sin as a whole has been dealt with in the sin offering. This is the peace offering. And yet it reminds them that their fellowship is by the blood. It reminds them that all the blessings of the peace offering that they're going to enjoy a little bit later on are because of the blood. It reminds them that God would seek to have peace with them even though they're sinners and still need their sin to be taken care of by the blood. It keeps that on the front of their minds. It reminds them that God would want to have peace with them and fellowship with them even though they're a sinner. Even though they've sinned against God. And listen, the older you get, isn't it amazing? The more you spend time with the Lord, and you enjoy that fellowship, and yet you see yourself in the mirror every morning and you think, how can it be that I can enjoy fellowship with God in this particular way? How is that possible? I'm such a wretch. I'm such a sinner. And here, from the very beginning of it, it is reminding us that God would have fellowship with us, even though we're still sinners. And we come through the blood of Jesus Christ. We come through the blood. It reminds us of that truth. So it was to be a perfect, it was to be without blemish. And they took the fatty portions and they gave those to the Lord. Someone said that the fatty portions are those portions of the animal that are the reserves, you know? They're the extra that the animal has stored up for those times when they might not have as much food. It's the extra food there that their body can eat off of. It was, in a sense then, the abundance and the perfections of the animal were those fatty portions. In a practical sense, they said that maybe also the fat would also burn well in the altar and provide a source of fuel for some of the other fires that would be, some of the other sacrifices that were burned. And so they would offer these things. Look at verse number 5. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And so as I think of these different steps, and we've looked at some different points here throughout it, it's about it being from the heart and it being a peace offering. It's supposed to be from thankfulness, thankful heart. But as we look specifically at the Thanksgiving offering, of the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, I notice this truth, two truths. The first one is this. It acknowledges a grateful relationship with God. It comes in and it says, I have a relationship with God because of the blood. It's based on the blood. And it acknowledges that. That's what our word Thanksgiving is. It acknowledges that. It's a grateful for a relationship with God. But there's a second part. There was the bloody sacrifice, but there was a second part. That's described back in chapter 7. Let's go back and look at that. He's already covered the blood sacrifice in chapter 3, so when he brings it up in chapter 7, he adds more to it, and he gives us here the part of what you might call the meal or the grain type of the offering, the breads. And let's look at verse 12. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And so there was to be this element of bread that was offered, some of it looking more like what we would think of pancakes than what we would think of by a loaf of bread. A portion of it was to be unleavened. Of course, that was very standard with the offerings and the sacrifices that they gave, that there was not supposed to be any leaven. And yet it's interesting in verse number 13, it tells us that there's a portion here that is to be leavened. A little bit different than many of the other sacrifices. One Bible student said it reminds us of the fact that as we worship God, there's still sin in our hearts and lives. Another one said, it reminds us here that God is coming to fellowship with us, and so therefore he allows a little more palatable source of food than just pancakes, than just the flat matzah, the flat bread that's there. But they would take the offering there, they would have this bread offering, and notice what they do with it, verse 14. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkled the blood of the peace offering. So the priest would get a portion of the bread. Verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. So they would give a portion of this offering to the priest. It was heaved and part of it was waved to the Lord in this gesture of giving it to the Lord, and yet the priest would get to enjoy it and partake of it as well. So there was the bloody sacrifice, there was the grain aspect, and then the final aspect, I think, is the neatest part of all. And that was the part of the feast. And this is what made the peace offering so much different than the other offerings. They got to enjoy part of the offering. God got his part, the priests got their part, but then the worshiper got to enjoy part of it as well. And that's where you get people describing this as if they're sitting down at God's table, dining with him. And what a picture of peace, what a picture of fellowship this was. And so here they would give, and part of it that was heaved up to the Lord and waved before the Lord then went over to the priest. They got to partake of it. Part of it, the fat and whatnot, was just plain burnt up to the Lord. He got part of it. And then they got to eat part of it as well, as we read at the end of verse number 15. But see, it was all God's food. It was all the sacred offering that they had offered to God. Yet they got to enjoy it as well. What an awesome truth that God would give to them of the sacrifice for them to enjoy. In the peace offering, God gives room for me to fellowship with him. I get to partake of the sacrifice. I get to partake of what is God's. I commune with God. I commune with fellow priests. It refreshes my heart and feeds my soul. And it's going to be a blessing to others too as we think about it. Someone described it in terms of the prodigal son this way. The father will have the prodigal feeding upon the fatted calf in fellowship with himself. Doesn't that describe the way we are? We've been like prodigal sons and we've wandered away from the Lord and we come back to the Lord and he not only welcomes us in, but he gives the fatted calf. And here God is sharing his sacrifice with us. That is the picture of fellowship. We get to sit down and enjoy it. We get to sit down and partake of it as well. But the standard here at the end of verse number 15 is this. It shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Now the other two types in verse number 16, the voluntary and the vow, they had a little more time to eat those. But the thanksgiving offering had to be eaten that day. Even the other two didn't get to last much longer. But the thanksgiving offering had to be eaten that day. So guess what happened? I make my sacrifice, and I bring in a 1,000-pound bull with me. Now, unless the priest and me are really hungry, I'm not going to be able to eat it all that day. All right? Went out the other day and had a half-pound burger, which was way more than I needed. All right? It was wonderful, but, I mean, that was only a half-pound. All right? And so here they had this extra meat, and so it was very much a thing in which they shared it with other people. And he gives the requirements here in Leviticus. He tells them that they have to be clean. He tells them that that this is a very important part. Look at verse number 19. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. You had to be clean to eat of it. But then people shared it with others. They gave unto other people. They gave unto the poor and the needy so long as they were clean. Because by the end of the day, when the sun went down, you had to get rid of all the rest of it. You couldn't eat of it. And if you did eat of it, God wouldn't accept the offering. So you gave and you shared with other people. And watch what happens. You start with the heart of gratitude unto the Lord, a grateful relationship with God, but it overflows then to generous fellowship with others. It's a grateful relationship with God, and it's a generous fellowship with other people. You take of it, and you're willing to partake or to give to other people so they can partake of it. It was one of those things. That's why it's a peace offering. It's a fellowship offering. Fellowship with God and fellowship with others as well. And so they could sit down and they could feast and they could enjoy those things together. And that was part of the blessing of the peace offering and the thank offering. Now it's interesting in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 63 that Solomon had 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep that were sacrificed as peace offerings when they dedicated the temple. Now as you think about that, people from all over Israel came to dedicate that temple. And the king's there to take care of them. And what does he do? He offers a peace offering. We're in fellowship with God. We've just built this temple. This is an exciting thing. We're walking with God, and his peace offering not only is to God, but it takes care of all of his subjects that are in town for the celebration as well. That's a lot of animals. So Solomon does it, 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29 and verse number 31, Hezekiah had abolished idolatry. The temple had all been shut up and closed up, and he opened it back up, and they got things cleaned up, and they got things going again. And Hezekiah brought peace offerings with thanksgiving. Hezekiah then, just a short time later, they had a great Passover celebration. And in that celebration, there were 2,000 bulls and 17,000 sheep that were offered. A little bit later, 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verses 10 through 16, Manasseh was a very wicked king, and God gave him warning. He didn't listen. And so Manasseh got hauled off into captivity. And a short time later, he prayed and cried out to God, and God freed him and sent him back home. And Manasseh then cleaned things out in his life, restored and repaired the altar, and he offered peace or thank offerings. I think I would too. I would be thankful for what God had done for me, and I would feel like I was back in peace with God as well. Several of the Psalms say these. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Psalm 95, 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. You can see in these both the sacrifice aspect, but the developing aspect of praise behind them as well. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise, literally a psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verse number 2, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. The sacrifice and the praise, both sides of it. Psalm 116 and verse 17, I will offer to thee sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Amos 4 and verse 5, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offering. Over and over. Now, one last passage, and let's finish up. Let's go back to Hebrews. We read it this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. We've looked at the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It came from a heart of thanksgiving that acknowledged all that God had done for them. It came from this heart. It started out with this bloody sacrifice that said, you know, the very fact that I can have a sacrifice and a relationship with God at all and fellowship with Him is all based on the blood. I'm a sinner, but I can enjoy that fellowship. And it had all of this bread that was part of it as well, and part of it then became part for me to enjoy fellowship with God, but then was given to others as well. With that sacrifice in mind, look at Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By Him, Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Same expression, to God continually. That's in everything. In all that you do, everywhere you go, continually. That is, he explains it, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do you know what the word giving thanks there is? It's the same word as in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. Have you ever heard a pastor say the word confess means to agree with God, to say the same thing as God says about it? It's the New Testament equivalent of that Old Testament word that we studied back in the thank offering. It's to acknowledge. It's the fruit of our lips acknowledging His name, giving thanks and praising His name. And so here, He's given us kind of the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament thank offering. He says, you need to give this sacrifice of praise. No, you're not going to slaughter a sheep or a calf or a goat. No, you're not going to offer up bread and cut off the fatty parts and put them on a burnt altar. There, you're not going to do all that sort of stuff, but what you should do is the praise part of it that goes with it. It should be the fruit of your lips, acknowledging His name, giving thanks to His name. But I think we should not stop with verse 15, but notice verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The word communicate there is the word for fellowship, which many times in the New Testament is the idea of sharing. It's not communicating like picking up the phone or texting someone. It's communicating like, let me help you with your financial needs here. It's parallel with doing good and communicating. And part of what he's saying here, sandwiched all together in this idea of sacrifices of praise, is this. You ought to do good with them. It goes with it. When you're thankful, you do good unto others and you communicate. And so as I consider some of these things, is it logical for me to give a Thanksgiving offering or a Harvest Project offering to something that I'm going to benefit from? Or that other people are going to benefit from? I mean, maybe I should just give something that only God can benefit from. Of course, how would I do that anyway? But is it logical for me to give money to new hymnals? Is it logical for me to give to other people in thanksgiving to God? And yet we have seen from the Thanksgiving offering and seen from the New Testament as well that part of our gratitude to God pours over in how we treat other people. Part of the thank offering was I got to benefit as well. It was praise. It was offered unto the Lord, but it benefited other people as well. So to me, the Thanksgiving offering is an incredible thing. It's an exciting thing here. As I get to stand and say, God, I am a wretch indeed. I have failed you so recently. And yet, God, I can enjoy fellowship with you. And I'm so thankful for it. And I can fellowship with other people. How dare we say that we love God and hate our brother? They go together to love God and love other people. So today, I just want to challenge you with what the Old Testament thank offering was. Again, I'm not saying that we partake of the exact same thing. But I want to challenge you as to what the components of it were. And challenge you to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.